Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
All right, we're in part three of our five-part series. You know, there's five great unity principles, and we looked at the first one, which is God, and then the second one, which was the Christ within. We're made in the image and likeness of God, therefore we have the qualities of God, which we often call the Christ. And then everything works according to divine law, the great law of the universe, and that's our theme today. Next week, we'll look at the power of prayer, affirmative prayer. And then finally, we'll move into activity. How do we put it into practice fully in our lives? That's my final week here at the church, and we'll have a blowout on that day because we're going to really talk about how we're going to live this going forward as we march forth. It's no mistake that the last Sunday is March 4th because we're all going to be marching forth. Wah, wah, wah. So today, the great law, you know, the great law, especially in terms of consciousness, the great law in consciousness is the thoughts held in mind produce after their kind, the creative power of changing our thinking. And this law is powerful. All I can say is, breaking rocks in the hot sun, I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won. It always does, folks. The law is going to win. And, you know, we have an idea about the law being kind of like the law in our society, kind of rigid and limited and based on legal systems and courts of law. But the law, as understood in the divine sense, is not in any way limited. It's the most expansive thing you can imagine, because God is expansiveness. God is limitless good. As we understand the law, as we grow in our own understanding, then the understanding of the way things unfold deepens, right? And so I just want to get that across first, because sometimes we resist. Oh, I don't like the law. You know, I want grace in my life. To me, grace is the highest understanding of the law, right? They are together. They're one and the same. So many names for this, and you may have your own, but I put a list down here. Law of attraction. We talked about that a lot in recent years because books and videos have come out about the law of attraction. And it's really another name for the great law. Law of mind action is what we use often in unity. Law of reciprocity, what goes around comes around. Law of compensation, as Ralph Waldo Emerson said, right? He wrote an essay on it, compensation. Law of giving and receiving, and the fact that they're linked together. Law of karma, of cause and effect. The divine law, the all-providing law, because that's another aspect of this. It's God is giving constantly. By the way, the universe, tell me about it. It is doing what? It's expanding in all directions, right? That's the law. That's the all-expanding, providing law. God is endless growth and unfoldment, right? It's not static. The miracle is it seems to be static when we're sitting here in this room, right? It doesn't seem like it's moving in 10 dimensions at once or whatever. But it is, right? Though the earth is moving around the itself on its own axis, then it's moving around the sun, then the sun is moving through the galaxy. The galaxy is moving around in this part of the universe, and the universe itself is moving. Amazing. Amazing. That's part of the fine-tuning of this thing we call the law. Law of order and balance. And the one I like the most, because I love that concept of this universe expanding, is the law of infinite expansion. And I'll talk a little more about that later. And then gravity. We had to throw that in, didn't we? Yeah. There are four forces controlling the universe, supposedly. So we've discovered so far, you know, electromagnetic force and etc. But the one we're most familiar with is gravity. But gravity is really a good force. It's part of the great law, isn't it? It keeps us safely in place. Otherwise, we'd be floating off who knows where, you know, but it's good. Your bed would be floating, you'd be going, I don't know where you'd be going. You could wake up on the Sahara, you know. In terms of summing it up, though, the great law can be summed up in three words. I like something that's simple. And those three words are, you know, like attracts like. That's it. That's the great law. Think about it. Everything that we understand about the way the law works is based on that. Or if you like to use another phrase, birds of a feather flock together. Have you noticed that? Depending on the level of your consciousness, level where you are, you attract like-minded folks into your life. That's the way it works, right? So if we want to have better experiences in our life, change our thinking, because like attracts like. It never fails. That's the way it works. Very powerful law, because if we want something that we're not getting, then we need to investigate, what am I thinking? Am I thinking thoughts that limit me in some way, or am I thinking thoughts that are going to expand? If I'm always seeing the problems in the world, guess what? Amazing, isn't it, how the law brings more problems into our lives, right? So instead of railing against something, I have to see it as a creative opportunity, right? I have to shift it around. I have to change my consciousness about it. What goes around comes around. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. If you look at the pamphlets that Unity puts out, it says, we are co-creators with God, creating reality through thoughts held in mind. Here's the important word in there, held. Because we have 50,000 thoughts a day, so they say, right? So how come those all don't manifest? Well, because they're not held, it's what we consistently believe to be the truth of our reality at any given time, right? Held in mind consistently. That's what's going to bring forth our life experience. And if we want to change our life, then we begin to look at where we are consistently putting our thoughts. Because we can change. That's why we call our movement New Thought. We can have a new thought. Great. We're never limited except by what? Ourselves, right? We do it to ourselves, yeah? Nobody did it to us, right? The devil, we're not going to blame the devil. Devil didn't do it. No politician did it. No banker did it. No spouse, ex-spouse, parents, doctor. So easy to give our power away if we're not careful. And we're not into that. We're into being creative, taking charge of our own consciousness. Because this law is not about a court or a system, you know, where there's a winner and there's a loser. No, in this court, in God's court, there's always winners. That's hugely important to know. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and flowing over with abundance. That's the way that God gives, right? Accept no substitutes. God wants to give you the highest and best. In the Course of Miracles, it says this, to give is to recognize that you have received. Interesting, isn't it? Because in the world's terms, when you give something, what do you got? You got less, don't you? Because you gave it, gave something. I've got less now of a finite resource. In spirit, you don't have less. The give is to recognize you've received, right? You're part of the flow. And if you know this, you'll never experience lack ever again, because you'll know your giving is to encourage the flow, right? That's the way God works. God wants us to be part of that activity of spirit. I grew up relatively poor. I've never shared this before. Didn't have a whole lot, but I never felt lack. My parents must have done a good job in inculcating the idea there was always enough. And it didn't matter about it enough being stuff. It wasn't about that. It was, there was love. There was going out into the garden and digging, and there was looking at nature. And there were all the things that were not quantified, but they were qualities that were important. And so all through my life, I've had this sense that I will be provided for, right? And it's always flowed for me. And I've always trusted that, whether I have a huge amount of money, things, or a little amount. It doesn't really matter. It's all about trusting the flow. And it's always there. And I'm not going to question it anymore, because I've got to 65 years old being blessed in that way, right? And so I know that the outer is not as important as my inner awareness. That's the key to transformation. That's the key to anything we want in our lives. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. What does that mean, if we feel fulfill something? You deliver on the promise, bring it into full fruition, you know. Are you fulfilling your destiny? Are you fulfilling all that God wants for you, right? Because you're a beautiful child of God. You're meant to prosper. You're meant to be in the flow. You're meant to be compassionate and give, right? That's who you are. So be a fulfillment of that. And it's never too late to do that, is it? It's never too late to come up higher, to do a new thing, right? To be fulfilled. Listen to Charles Fillmore, because he uses the same word. Interesting. Co-founder of Unity. He said, it is the principle of never ceasing growth and development, the law. It is the principle of never ceasing growth and development toward the fulfillment of God's perfect idea that is firmly fixed in all creation and therefore in us. Let's read it again. It is the principle of never ceasing growth and development. This is never, it's never over until it's over, and it's never over until it's over. It's never over till it's over. Over and over, over and over, right? Never ceasing growth and development toward the fulfillment of God's perfect idea that is firmly fixed in all creation. Jeremiah talks about it. 31, 33, he says this, God says, I shall set my law within them, writing it on their hearts. It's here already, right? So all we have to do is cooperate with it, right? Let it be part of that flow, that expansiveness. I've been going through all, I'm sure you would believe, I've been going through all kinds of emotions in the last several weeks, you know, thinking about leaving the church after 30 years. It's tough. And people have come to me and said, you know, you were there for me then, you did that and all that. And I've been going through some of the archives and looking at pictures and feeling overwhelmed by them and thinking, oh, my God, did we do all that and all the events that had happened? And, you know, it's a smorgasbord of different emotions, right? Incredible gratitude, some fear, some regret and sadness. But it's all part of the beautiful flow, isn't it? It's all part of what was meant to be. And it's the same with the next stage for us and for this church, you know. It's never over. It's just another part of the flow, the never-ceasing growth and development towards a fulfillment, right? So I invite us to see it in that regard. It's not over. It's just another step in who do we dare to be as Unity Fort Worth? Who do I dare to be as a living presence, living this law of possibility, yeah? And if we say that this is my adventure, my choice, then we cannot fail. We're going to have a wonderful experience as we go forward into the next stage of what it is for this community. You know this is a remarkable community, don't you? You know how unusual we are in the Metroplex to have a community like this, right? And a community that truly does teach and live unconditional love. You know, and we do it successfully, and we have many, many activities that go on here, and this is a safe space for all people, regardless. There's nobody's rejected. That is awesome. And that's the nature of the law in action, because law in action truly is compassion. You know, it's the compassionate embrace. A misunderstanding of spiritual truth leads to division, but a true understanding of spiritual truth leads to embrace. Listen to this poem. I love this one. You've probably heard it before, by Edwin Markham. He said, he drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle and took him in. See, when people put their circles around and say, get out, this is mine, what do? We create a bigger circle. And we say, too bad, you're included. Whether you want to or not, we're all in this together. You know, I had a experience on a thread this week on Facebook. Shouldn't have gone there, but I did. It was right after the shooting and the recent one. And anyway, it was fairly decent. It wasn't ugly, but that the person was definitely not thinking the same way that I do. And it came down to home invasion. And he said, well, you don't have a gun. I pity you because, you know, all that love's not going to help you when they come in. And I wrote back, I said, listen, more people are killed by their own guns in their own homes than by home invasion. So I refuse to buy into that paranoia, number one. And I know I'm protected because I choose to hold thoughts that are going to be safety and protection and knowing spirit is sure. Yeah, those things happen, but I'm not going to create a worldview around them, yeah? And he ended up the thread. He said, thank you. We can agree to disagree, but at least you were civil, and I enjoyed the conversation. And that made me feel good, yeah. Because the point is, we're not all going to agree. You know, he was a real big Second Amendment person, and I wasn't going to change that stance. But I didn't have to be ugly with him, and he didn't have to be ugly with me. We ended up with that idea that we can agree to disagree, but we're still together. We drew a circle that included that person, right? That's the work here. And then the neat thing was he understood that and was willing to participate in that. That's how the world changes, right? So, how do we do it? How do we put the law into action? I got five things, and you know, whenever there's a five-thing thing, you know there's going to be a pop quiz at the end. So pay good attention here. All right, number one, obvious one, probably know this one. If you're going to change your life, if you're going to change your thoughts, where is your, begins with F, focus. What are we focusing upon? And an exercise we can do on any given day is examine where our main focus is going, right? And if it's not going to a place that's helpful and expansive for us or others, change those that thinking, right? Because our focus determines what's going to show up for us in our lives. Have you ever been miserable and horrible and nasty? Have you ever noticed how the problem seems to accompany you with that? And then have you ever noticed when you've softened your stance and it may be open to the other person's perspective and there's a shift and you don't feel like you're being confronted anymore? You know, because you shifted your focus, right? The focus has changed. I'm focusing in a more expansive direction now and my life feels better. And if there's any evidence of that, we want to do more of it, don't we? We want to focus more because that's the nature of it. Emmett Fox called it the golden key. Take your mind off the problem, put it on God. Number two, focusing has to be on the right thing. Because sometimes we focus too much on the outer. We focus on the world of effects. If only that would change, then I'd be happy, right? If only I didn't have that in my life. If only she would go away, whatever it is. It's not about those circumstances, those people, right? Those are the effects. What do we need to change then? Effect, cause. We need to change the causes, right? We need to go back to cause. We don't want to just manipulate effects. For instance, you want a beautiful car, and you're focusing on it. You've got that picture. You've got your vision board. There's the car. Can't seem to get the car. Why? Why isn't it showing up? I'm focusing on not having. I wish I could have the car. But I'm also focusing on this thing called the car, and it's not really about that. What does the car represent? What's the underlying cause? What's the underlying mental equivalent or spiritual equivalent to the car? Huh? Being empowered to move. Abundance. Transportation. Freedom. See, if I focus on these spiritual ideas of freedom and abundance and possibility and what that car represents, then I bring those qualities into mind. The car will show up in the right and perfect way. Because it's not about the car, it's about the ideas that the car represents. Same with the home, right? I want a house. But if I'm focusing too much on the way a house has to be, then I'm losing sight of what a house really represents. And again, it represents security, safety, the ability to share intimately with my family, right? All those qualities. If I'm always worried about a home invasion, then my house is not safe. No matter how many alarms I've got, how many guns I got stockpiled, it's not going to be safe, right? Because I'm putting all my fear out there in the world of effects. But if I remember that I am divinely guided and surrounded by white light, the Spirit is there, going to protect me, then I can relax, right? Because I've understood the spiritual equivalent of my desire. And so many of our problems arise, it seems to me, because we don't go back to cause. We are manipulating effects. And we're meeting people at that level instead of going back to what's really going on. Because, you know, we all have commonalities, don't we? Whether you're red or blue or purple or gray or whatever you are. We all love each other. We want love for our children. We want the same commonalities. We want to eat well. We all believe that America is a wonderful place to live, even with all its mistakes, yes? So there's more commonalities than there are things that separate us. So that's the second thing. Always go back to what's really going on beyond the effect. Three, give thanks, and we know that one, in advance. And when I first heard that back in the 70s, it blew my mind. Give thanks in advance? Because I was trained to give thanks for the stuff that came. You know, you got a present, thank you. You got something nice, you got a bonus, ooh, thank you. But why in advance? Why is that so important? Lets you be open to what? All right, so what are you saying then? I'm recognizing that it's already been given. Already filled, right? I have already received because I'm in God's universe and God has given me everything. So I give thanks in advance. If you give thanks in advance, you're speeding up the flow, aren't you? Because you're not waiting for it to be right in the outer again. You're acknowledging it already is right in spirit. It's already here. So I'm giving thanks in advance for all the good that's flowing to Unity Church of Fort Worth. I'm giving thanks in advance to all the wonderful things that are going to happen for me and Wendy. I'm giving thanks in advance that solutions are coming to the United States of America that are going to lift us up into a wonderful new understanding. Right? I'm not waiting and fearing and worrying. I'm giving thanks in advance because I know that God is in charge. Number four, expand. As we said earlier, we're an expansive universe. Yeah, the universe is moving in all directions. So why aren't you? Right? Expand. Consider new things. Stay open. Stay receptive. Do something that helps, that makes a difference. Listen, if you're 6 feet in the ground, at the end of the next week, be 5 feet. I'm not saying you got to get out of the hole. You know, it might be too difficult to get out of the hole, but at least shovel in some good, you know, some humus or whatever it's called. Hummus. What is it called? Hummus. I'm not talking about that fancy food that they're all eating these days. You know, dirt, some good dirt. Not hubris, no. What? You know, dirt, hummus. No, what's it called? All I can think about is that stuff you eat, you know, the Middle Eastern stuff. You can shove in a bit of that, too. Point being, do something that's helpful and kind so that you raise yourself up, right? Because then it's going to be easier to go to 4 feet. And sometimes you'll go back to 4'6". But, you know, every time you come up, you're moving in the right direction. That's expansive thinking. That's expanded. Don't have to go from zero to a million. You just do something incremental here by being kind. My religion is kindness. In that case, live it, right? Be kind to somebody. Like attracts like. And then five is simply enjoy the ride, you know? It's not about the destination, is it? We can have fun wherever we are any given time. It felt great that that person on that thread responded like he did. It was better than him agreeing with me. Do you know what I'm saying? It wasn't about him agreeing with me, but the fact that we had that connection and we enjoyed that connection, even though we were tussling a little bit, it was beautiful. And that's what it's all about, I think. Not to make it everybody's got to think the same way. That's never going to happen. But we can enjoy the process, right? Pop quiz. Focus. Test it out this week. Where's my focus going at any given day? Think about it. at work, at home? Where's the focus be? Especially if things aren't going too great. Why is that? Where's my focus? That's number one. Two, go to cause. Don't get entangled in effects all the time. Go to the cause. What's behind? What's back of? That's what Charles Fillmore liked to say. What's in the mental realm beyond the things that are showing up, right? That's two. Give thanks in advance, right? Don't wait. Give thanks for something right now. Give thanks for the fact that the universe is flowing through you in incredible ways. Three. Four, expand, right? Do something that's going to help you grow. Be teachable. Right? Eat some hummus, yeah. You're going to feel so good. Especially if you eat the real thing, not the stuff they sell in the supermarket, you know. Amen. Amen, because what I've found, thank you for bringing that up, is when I begin to cooperate with the universe, right, when I begin to be in the flow, I notice that spontaneously things come into my life that I could never have guessed. That's why I don't like planned fun. If you plan your fun out too much and you got all of it lined up, it's never much fun, you know? But if you just go and have an adventure, then things show up that you could never have guessed. It's much more enjoyable that way. And I think that God wants to give us things, but God gives us to the degree that we can be open and receptive. You know, if we have it all planned out, there's very little room because we're simply not paying attention. You know, it has to be a certain way. This is the problem with lists, isn't it? They'll drive you crazy. You know, because if I have to get through my list, then all I could see is my list, right? Why do we, you know? You know what I love? The best part of my list making? Just tear them up and do something different. You know, provisionally lists are okay, or plans. I'm not knocking plans. You only have to have some ground rules and plan of attack or whatever. But don't make it your boss. It's not your God, right? Be willing to move beyond it. That's four. Expand beyond your plans. And like a recipe. There's a good example, right? Have you ever been stuck on the recipe and it doesn't turn out? And later on you said, I knew I should have added that. And I knew, my intuition told me to add that ingredient, but I didn't because the cookbook said I shouldn't. Life is not a cookbook, is it? That could be my new book, couldn't it? Life is not a cookbook. There we go. Junk the cookbook. We haven't got to five. Come on, what's five? Enjoy the ride, right? This is part of the flow, and that's how the great law works in our lives. Amen. So as we enjoy that beautiful music, we also note that it's created from a mathematical sequence. And from that mathematical sequence arises tone and rhythm, melody, harmony. And from those elements arise beauty and feeling. And in the same way as And in the same way as that musician is creating nuance and subtlety through that progression of mathematical structure and harmony and beauty, so we too use all the various elements of creation to sing and to play our own song. Endless unfoldment of the laws, of the great law. We are that instrument. We are that musician. We are that creative process. And God is working ceaselessly in us to bring forth that fulfillment. We choose today to cooperate with that flow, with that creativity, with that endlessly expanding law that we can trust. So as we move into the silence, let us contemplate that beautiful idea that like attracts like. In the silence, I explore what I am attracting this moment, this day, and this week. So we feel that beautiful stillness out of which all sound and harmony, order arises. It is ours to claim. Enjoying our lives in rain and sun, we cooperate with the law, and the law won. And so it is. Thank you, God.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. And I am grateful.